Mr. Brant, you might make your way up here. Brant, you. I thought you were ignoring me on purpose.
I thought he was too.
I was like, wow.
I've been talking to people.
No.
Imagine that.
I know. You never do that.
Is it church time?
Looks like it's church time. Hey, I haven't set the exact date. Probably the first Thursday in October. I'm planning on starting a financial small group over at my house. It's going to be through Crown Financial. It's a really cool program. If any of you have never done it, it focuses on God's Word. There's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talks about finances one way or another. Retirement, saving, giving, the whole schmeal. Yeah, it is an excellent, excellent program, about a 10-week program if any of y'all are interested. It'll be at my house, and I'll have information on it. Just go home, pray about it, decide what God wants you guys to do, if he wants you to be part of this group or not. And like I say, about 10 weeks, it might change the way you look at money and how God looks at money and this gift that he's given to us. I'll probably be talking about it more.
But is it really going to be just 10 weeks, Brant?
Well, we'll see. It's hard for me to focus sometimes.
Thanks, Brant. Appreciate it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you again for the day. We thank you again for the beauty. We thank you that the change of season. I know for some people, fall time isn't, they don't like fall because it's the end of summer. But I love the crispness of the air. I love the things that are changing and the beauty around us. And Father, I just thank you that you're here, that you've created all this for us to enjoy and to be part of. Father, we just thank you for this day that we just come together as family and just worship you and celebrate who you are in our lives and hear from you this morning collectively as a body. And thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you. Oh, regardless of how faithful we are to you. We thank you that you choose us. We thank you for the opportunity to love you back. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
How y'all doing this morning? Wow, that's pretty weak.
Fabulous.
There you go. Thank you. Can always count on you. Oh, well, it's been another fantastic fall week. Beautiful weather this week, yeah? My son and I attempted a project. He bought a four-wheeler this summer from a friend of his, and so wanted to keep it out, and my shed is, you know, nicely organized and not full of junk that's taking up space. So can't put it in there because it's so clean. So we're building a little garage for his four wheeler. But if you're a builder, do not come by and look at it. Do not put a level on it. You know, when you build with a recycled material, and it's been a long time. I used to do that kind of thing, so I wasn't thinking everything through all the way. And so we tore off this deck a couple months ago off the church, and so there's still a lot of good, you know, 2x6s and 2x8s and all that kind of stuff. So why not reuse it? It's just a little shed, right? No big deal. But, you know, when you use a 2x8 for your base and top plate and use a 2x6 for your stud walls, it's not a big deal, right? But until you, when you put the walls together, it's like, why do I have this 2-inch gap? Because I put the overlap on the inside. Anyway, it's going to work, but it's not going to be pretty. But it was fun. I had a blast getting out there with my son. I'm paying for it. I've been paying for it for the last couple of days. My shoulder is not happy with me, even though it wasn't that big a deal. It stinks getting old, and you start to pay for the things that you used to do when you were 19 and 20, and those things used to jump off of things and carry things around that were super heavy, and now your body's going, yeah, remember? And I'm like, yeah. Whatever, leave me alone. What? This is not good. Like half my notes just disappeared. Oh, that's not good. Where'd they go? This is going to be a really short message. I know I have them written down. I usually do that as a backup. That's why I don't trust technology. I'm sure it's here somewhere, but I can't find it. That's great. Awesome. I can't even, oh, that's awesome. I can't even fake what I wrote down. It's written down, but it's wadded up in my trash can. Go see if you can find it. Should be on the top. Should be a crinkled up piece of paper. Oh, I love technology. It's so awesome. It makes my life so much easier. What? Can you find it? Think you can find it? Come up here and fix it for me, Julie. Now I got to ad lib till then. That's not going to be safe. Testimonies, that's a good, yeah, but then that gets dangerous too. We used to do that. We're live too, so. Yeah. Did you find them?
Good for people to know you're not perfect, right?
They don't need that to know that. But it was cool. Did you find them? Sweet. So, Julie, yeah. Under a bunch. Thank you. Perfect. We'll see if Julie can find them. Went to a beautiful wedding yesterday. Ken's daughter got married, and it was just, and they had the, you know, the wedding was beautiful, and we had the reception afterward, and they had the, you know, the bride and groom dance. Huh?
Today is the 13th, right?
It is.
I
did, but it's only, like, there should be more than just that one page.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, they had the bride and groom dance, and then they had the mother-son dance and the father-daughter dance, and then they had, like, any other fathers and daughters wanted to come up and dance, and then they played the song that my beautiful daughter reminded me that we did at her wedding a year ago, and I was not emotional at all, and it didn't remind me of a year ago, you know, of dancing with my daughter at her wedding. But it's still overpowering, you know, just sit up there, stand up there, or stand on the dance floor and dance with your adult daughter a year later after her wedding. It's, you would think you'd just get over it, but you never get over it. But it was really cute. There was a young dad, and his daughter was probably 2, and she was walking. But she's walking. But she can kind of walk around, but she's just a little filly dress. He's got there out dancing on the floor with her, which was really cute. And I told him it won't get easier. Because she gets older, and then there's some other guy dancing with her, and that's not so cool. You know, as much as I love my son, son-in-law, there's still those moments. All right, well, I can't belabor the point, Julie, so I'm going to have to use old wrinkly notes. And it's all right. It's a good thing I use. That's why I'm glad I write things down. That'll prove me I got to do it even better now. All right. We are in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Somebody was giving me a hard time this week, and they were asking me if I was going to get through 1 John this year. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. And I'm okay. That's good. 1 John chapter 3. We're in verse 16. By this we know love. They lay down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. I don't know, this first phrase caught me this week. By this we know love. And I understand that it goes on that he laid down his life for us, and we'll get into that. But just that phrase, by this we know love. That just, I don't know, just kind of captured my thought process this week as I thought about just how do people know that I love them? How does my wife know that I love her? How do my kids know that I love them? How do the people around you know? I mean, not just think, not just surmise, not just kind of, I think they do love me, but do the people around you know that you love them? Do they? I see some nodding heads. Do I need to ask questions? How does your wife know you love her? Oh, he knows. Come on. Right. No, I'm not asking her to tell me. I know she can tell me, because I'm going to ask her in a minute. How does she know you love her? Don't look at her. How does she know she loves you? You love her. What do you do? What do you say? Are there things you do?
No pressure.
Oh, Lord. Wow. Your points are just disappearing.
One more time.
How does she know that you love her? What do you do that she's like, she knows the core of her existence that you love her? You do what?
I
can't hear you. What was that?
I do acts of service as well as being sensitive to her needs, even when she's having a rough day. And, you know, sometimes communication does not bode well. And things get tense in the moment. I'll just pour her a bath or, you know, just give her.
Oh, she gave a shake of the head. I don't know if that was she's embarrassed or if that's not the right. Which was that? Oh, okay. So that's not a bad thing, right? Does that show you? Do you feel loved by him when he does that? See, because I'm gonna ask the older gentleman out here. When's the last time they poured a bath for their wife? Anybody? Me either. But I'm just saying, right? Young love, isn't it so awesome? But I mean, even when I was young, I don't think I've ever poured a bath for my wife. That's sad. Well, chocolate, I understand. I do that all the time. My wife, that's her love language. Lots of chocolate, right? All right. Do I dare ask anybody else? Hey, Chris, how does your wife know you love her? Don't look at her. And what does that mean? That's kind of a broad. I'll do anything for you. What does that mean? Okay. Okay. Is that how you feel loved? You can be honest here. This is a safe place. Does that speak to your heart, though? Do you know that he loves you? Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Good. Ooh, I liked it. Oh, yeah. I won't go around and ask everybody because, you know, some of you I know will kill me later. But we should have that response. How do you know that you're loved? Not just from your spouse. Like, how do your kids show that they love you? How do you show your mom and dad you love them? I'm going to pick out some kids now. How do you show your mom and dad you love them? Try to listen as much as you can. That's pretty good. I like that, try to listen. That's a kid answer. I try to listen as much as I can. Oh, okay. That's one of those worries. Right, right. But you know, but there's something about this. I got caught watching. I don't know why I do it to myself. I got watching these adoption stories online this week. Does not bode well for me, because then I just want to adopt a bunch of kids, and my wife's like, "We're done." I was like, "Okay, well," but you know, yeah. But there was this one story that I watched that just had a huge impact on me. It's this lady that was adopted from Africa, and she was a throwaway baby. Her mom had actually had twins, and they left her sibling in the hospital, and the nurse, from what they could tell, took the baby and just put her outside. Umbilical cord still attached to her. I mean, that new. And so somebody found her and brought her back to the hospital, and she was adopted out by an Australian family. And so she grew up in Australia. And so she was looking for, you know, she's a mom now with four kids and married and all that. And she goes back to Africa to find, you know, try to find her family. And they'd done DNA tests. And so there was this one lady and her family. They go back to Africa and, you know, takes the whole family, and her adopted parents go with them. I mean, it was such a cool story, you know. As they go back to this, and, you know, I love watching some of the African cultures, because it's a big deal when they show up at this village, man. They're like, everybody's out there celebrating, going nuts, you know, this lost daughter is coming home. And it takes a wicked turn where that wasn't her mom. They do another DNA test, and they found out that probably one of her sisters was actually her mom. So she, this roller coaster of emotions, and as they were visiting the hospital where she was born and where she was, you know, taken from and put back into, that very day was another abandoned baby boy that had come into the hospital. And at the end of this long story, she's in the process of trying to get him. So we're going to talk about love, you know, just on all these things. We want to be loved. We want to be connected, and that's on a human level. And here it is in Scripture. We know love. We know, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we're going to look at some Scripture this morning, probably the most famous one. Just always amazes me. What's the verse that first jumps in your brain when you think about he laid down his life for us? What do you think about? What's that? No, I'm talking about Scripture. John 3:16. Thank you. I want to know what the firecracker comment. Okay, that's interesting. What's? Oh, got you. A firefighter. I thought you said. I need to turn my brain on. I heard firecrackers. So I'm like, what is fire? Fire. Thank you. Wow. Fire. Oh, yeah. This is why I shouldn't. Anyway. But John 3:16. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten son. And I'm speaking James, King James. That's how I learned it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times have you seen that on a poster at a football game or any other sporting event? All the time, right? Why? I've never understood that. Why that scripture? Why that one? It's such a, in the simplicity, and there's lots, obviously, other verses that go around that even bring out more of that. But again, how many of us would lay down our children for someone else? I don't know many people that would. I don't know many people. I don't know, as if there's, just being brutally honest with you this morning, I don't think there's anybody alive that I would lay my children down for, even now that they're grown and adults and have their own choice of that, right? But not only that, that's for people that I would, like, man, I kind of like that person, I might, like, contemplate that, but here's God doing that for people that hated his son. And I think Jesus was very well aware when he was in heaven before he came down. He understood what he was going down to. and what he was going down to do and what he was going down to lay his life for. He was going down to lay his life down for these people. Some would accept him and the majority of them will reject him. And he did it anyway. Right? And that's why he is God and I am not, because I don't know of many people I would do that for. But it tells us to lay, we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers. There's that phrase that goes around, you know, it's like, well, I would die for you. Okay. But would you live for me? I mean, most of us husbands, I'm not going to ask you because I won't get you in trouble, but most of us, I'm assuming, would lay our lives down for our wives. We would step in harm's way if that was asked of us. I don't doubt that for a second for any husband that's here. Right? But do we live for our wives? Do we live with this place that she knows without a shadow of a doubt that she is the most loved woman on the planet because you love her? That's a question to ask her. Do we live in that place for our wives, for our children, for our friends? That's laying down your life. It's one thing to step in harm's way and your life is over in one moment. But what about the day in, day out, laying down your life? Because it's not always about death. It's about laying aside, like Chris said. Sometimes I do things that, yeah, it's not my thing, but I do it because that's what she likes to do and I love her. The problem is you start liking those things. That gets weird, right? Start doing crafty things and scrapbooking, and it gets, you know, then you got to go down and do something manly. I know, right? But that's what we do. I can't tell you. I think I've watched more, rom-coms in my life than I have action movies. So sometimes I just got to go out and, you know, have a John Wick, you know, marathon and, you know, like, okay. Oh, yeah. I'll leave it there because I'm going to get myself in real trouble and my wife's going to shoot me. But we do those things, and do we live this sacrificial life? Because we have this beautiful picture throughout Scripture about how to do that, the life of Christ. So if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. This is right before Jesus does the Lord's Supper, Passover. So it's always, I'm only going to read one verse, but like I'm always telling you guys, read it in context, read everything around it. And this is right before, you know, he washes the disciples' feet. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And again, that phrase again just like jumped out at me. Love them to the end. There's not a lot of things I want on my tombstone, but I would love, whether it's on my tombstone, because I don't plan to have a tombstone. But I want my wife and my children and my friends and those people that I've been called to serve to know one thing about me at the end, that I loved you all till the end, until my final breath leaves my body, that the people that are in my realm of influence and my realm of care, that they above all things feel loved. And if you don't feel loved by me, I pray that you would come and talk to me, because I do not want that to ever be said of me. Because how I love people may not be the way that you want to be loved, right? Because we all have different ways of how we want to be loved. Sometimes you just want to be left alone. I don't understand that. But some people, that's what they'll just leave me alone. That you love me from way over there, right? But what we have to have is this, you know, Brian talked about communication breaking down. If we don't communicate, we can't know. Right? But Jesus, obviously, he knew he loved them to the end. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Man, would that be said about us? That we have been loved and that we love to the end. of everything we have. We just have given it all away. We've held nothing back from those around us. John 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And again, it's fascinating to me that I've always read that until recently. That's about death, but it doesn't say you have to die. But we assume that laying down of life means I've died for you. But I think there are those moments. But again, like I said a moment ago, I think it's about living for each other, laying down our lives on a daily basis for our friends and our loved ones. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. There's a statement. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So what are these things he's commanded, that we act as his friends? That we understand that, and I understand he's talking to his disciples in this moment, but again, everything that he said to them applies to us. And even more so, I think, because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have all those things that I love, that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. All that Jesus had heard from the Father, he made known to his disciples. And I believe that he's making it known to us here today. And what is that? To love. To love sacrificially, to love unconditionally, to love without any kind of strings attached. I know none of you have ever said this, but, you know, I don't think I ever have too, but there's been that. So it's not always about what we say, sometimes it's about the heart attitude, right? It's like, well, I'll love you if you do that thing, right? Again, it may not ever be vocalized, but I think there's times in the selfishness of my own heart, I can kind of manipulate love, right? Because I can go like, man, if I operate in this place, but that shouldn't how it be. It should be. I should be like, man, I need to be in this place of absolutely connected with Father. I should be in this place of absolutely connected with this place of love, the sacrificial love. And that this point of you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Man, one of this fruit that we're talking about, this morning, is this love. I mean, if we get this place of, and again, like we talked about last week, it's not this shallow kind of love that we apply to a lot of things. It's this unconditional place of loving people into relationship with God. I know it's kind of become cliche. But that's the reality of it, because we're not going to argue people. We're not going to berate them. We're not going to guilt them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they already think that. That they think that they've got to get everything fixed and right and perfect before they can come to the Father, and that's just not the case. But so often, the world looks at the church and they don't see a lot of love. And that's one of the things that's been commanded of us to do. To love one another. Because again, when we're loving one another, we're loving each other in this setting, in the setting of our homes, and we're showcasing the glory of God through godly marriages, and we're showcasing the glory of God through our godly families. They're not perfect. Godly and perfect are not the same thing. But we're in this place of understanding, we're loving in this place, and again, just watching that, again, going back to that adoption thing, watching those people who have never met this woman, we're loving on her like she had been growing up with them. And even though that story panned out where this man, this woman were not her parents, it didn't matter to them. And this whole village turned out, and their kids were absolutely engulfed in all these, I don't know, 40, 50 kids. I don't know how many. There are a ton of them on the show where they're just running around and showing these two. They got a little girl who's the youngest, and she's like two, walking hand in hand with a little girl that she'd never met in her life. And the mom was like, they'll probably never say a word to each other. But they'll walk away best friends, right? But there's this connection. Why? Because love. It's about this beautiful example of love. It doesn't matter. Right? And it's like, well, they're not blood family. Doesn't matter. We get so locked into this, I don't know, sometimes of like, you know, well, I'm going to love because they did this for me or they did that for me, or I'm not going to love because of the same thing. But that's not love. Because again, when we put it how Christ loves us, that should never be even in our thought process. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. Being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I love reading all these passages. These few verses, I read over them quite a bit. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from, and I'll add a word, his love, right? Is there any comfort, I mean, that we can come around and surround each other when things are hard in our lives, and we can come around and physically hug on each other and be with them physically in that space, but at the end of the day, the depths of our souls, when we're going through the darkest, deepest waters we have ever walked through, there is no comfort in anyone else's love but the love of Father in that moment. Because people, even if they're there with you 24/7, they still can't get into the resources of your soul and love you at that place. Our ability to love and care kind of disappears at some point. But with God, it's all the way in, and he understands, and he can give us that place of comfort and compassion and peace that we really don't understand. And even this passage, he talks about how he gave it all up to sacrifice himself. We read these words, and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's like, you know what? It's like, I don't think our minds can grasp what he really did. And we read it and we understand it in theory, we understand it on some level. But our minds can't grasp it because we don't know what heaven is. We don't know what heaven is like. We don't know what he came from. And we read about it, but we just still, in my mind, I have no concept of what he gave up. I don't. I have no concept. Because I could be the richest person in the world and give it all up and go live in the slums somewhere, and that still wouldn't even come close to what he gave up. He gave it all up for us to love us and to show us what kind of love is possible for us to live out here in this busted, broken world. He's called us to live in this place of sacrificial love. He's called us to live in this place that transforms lives and relationships by loving each other the way he loves us. And in John chapter 3, verses, or 1 John 3, no, not there, yep. I'm going to go there just real quick. I'm not going to continue on. I'm running out of time because I just want to hit this. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Because you've all heard word to cheat. Right? If you've ever had those moments in your relationship with your wife where things aren't going well, and she just turns and goes, I don't want to hear you anymore. Show me. Anybody else? Or is that just me? Right? Your words mean nothing. And then she's not being mean in that moment. She's just because I have done these things, and it's like my words and my talk don't mean anything anymore. But it's walking that place of like, you know what, I'm going to start showing her, not because I have the ability to do so, but because this is what God is doing in and through my own life. I was talking to someone recently about that, just my journey. Devon's my journey. And it's like, and this person was asking, was like, what was the thing that you do that did that made it change? I was like, I can't tell you. I don't have, here's these five steps that I did in my life that made my wife change, like start believing what I was telling her and feeling loved and feeling cared for and feeling all those things that I should have been doing all those years, right? I can't tell you why. And I'm glad I don't have, here's these five steps. Because it was a power of the living God inside my life where I came to that place of submission and go, Father, whatever it takes. I want to love my wife the way she deserves to be loved and was designed to be loved by me. Because it goes beyond deserves. It goes about design. Because I'm learning more and more about this whole marriage and love thing, even after I've been doing it for so long. This whole place of oneness and connectedness, and that's a whole nother long thing. I'm just beginning to scratch the surface off, so I can't even speak about it. But I'm beginning to understand this is way more bigger and greater and more magnificent than I ever realized. But let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Closes one thing, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined, is held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we have the picture of God, the sacrificial gift. We have Jesus coming down. We have him sacrificing everything for us and showing us what real love is. Now we talk about 1 John 3:17-16. Don't talk about, don't love in word and talk, but in deed and truth. And here's the and here's the thing where I think we as Christians get this so wrong. Speaking the truth in love. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm speaking the truth in love. But again, I think I said last week, if they walk away from the conversation with you worse off than when they came there, you didn't speak the truth in love. Even if what you spoke was the truth, it wasn't in love. Because I only get that because if we're speaking if we're really truly speaking the truth in love, then everything is changing, and each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And we're up, when we're speaking in that place, it grows the relationship, not tears it down. So if your marriage is coming apart and your relationship with your friends or your children or whatever the situation is coming apart, it's because you're not loving. I mean, there might be some other things too, but I'm going to say at the root of everything is this thing of love. If I'm not loving, truly loving sacrificially, if I'm really loving this, if I'm not loving this place in deed and truth, and I'm shutting up about how much I love somebody, I'm not saying don't say it, okay? Don't hear that, because we need to say that to each other, right? I never get tired of having my wife tells me that she loves me, either verbally or in text or in however it comes out, right? I love hearing that. I never get tired of that ever. But But again, I think when we get to, I know that if the church at large would love at this level, and we truly spoke to each other in love, when we have those moments of confrontation that needs to happen from time to time, if we really have the agenda of the end result of as I want to restore this relationship. Maybe it's not about between me and this person. Maybe it's about that person and getting them to understand, like, look, they need to restore the relationship with God. If that's done from a place of love, then it's going to cause the body to grow. It's going to cause the body to work properly. But when the church has gotten this thing, and I believe it, and I love the bride, and Devon's always cautioned me, don't pick on the bride. I'm not bad-mouthing the bride. But I'm saying we got to love the bride. And loving the bride, loving each other is this place, speaking the truth in love and allowing us to come to this place where we are working properly and effectively in this space that we have been called to operate in. I still have a dream that things will change. I believe they will. I talk about revival all the time. I know I've said many times from up here that I believe it's coming from Alaska. I think that's where it's going to start. And every day that goes by, even as crazy as our world's getting, God just keeps that in the forefront of my mind. And I have to trust his vision, not my own. And God continues to bring people into, even into this setting here this morning, into this building. We've gone through over the 15, 16 years that I've been here. Even when I first came here, I wasn't doing anything. I was just coming in just like y'all are, sitting in, out there. But there's something special about this little building. Not the building. It's special about what God has planned for this body of believers. I firmly believe that. I don't have a full picture of what that. I have dreams. I have imaginations. I have all these things that I think might be the thing, but God hasn't locked in one specific thing. But he keeps bringing people in. You understand we shouldn't be surviving in the last 7 months, right? There's a lot of churches that are struggling financially. And in a lot of other ways, we're not. Because I know, to the core of my existence, God has a plan and purpose for this body of believers. I firmly believe he has a plan, a purpose for this body of believers to showcase how much he loves his people and how much he loves the world. But we have to start with that first and foremost in our own heart and life. Do we understand that love relationship between us and Father? Like I said, I don't believe we can fully comprehend what that sacrificial love looks like on his end. So what? Enter into it. When those days get hard around those people that aren't as easy to love from time to time, and sometimes that's family and friends and whatever it is, find that thing to love them about. Find that thing. Don't talk about it. Don't go out and say, hey, I'm going to do this because I love. No, just go do it. Do it in deed. Do it in truth. Do it in this place and ask Father how to love them. Well, there's a question. Ask Father how you are to love your spouse. How to love your kids. When they get older and are doing things you don't always agree with. Right? I'm not saying that's where I'm living, but I'm saying, well, those of us that live long enough, we're going to have adult children to do things that we don't always agree with. How do you love them anyway? Do you really love them or do you not? Do you really love your spouse when they're being ornery or obstinate from time to time? Do you really love them or do you not? just listening. I don't have anything. I just have some big wrap-up statement. I don't have one today. And that's okay. I don't know about you, but I've felt absolutely amazingly loved this last week. And I think when we're amazingly loved, when we walk into situations that don't have that same kind of atmosphere, at least for me, I get irritated by that. And I'm saddened by that. It's like, how can people operate in this place, this vacuum of not being loved? I mean, really. So, but it needs to go beyond just being saddened or irritated by it. What do I need to do in that moment? How do I love total strangers in that moment? And getting my agenda out of the way. What would Father have me do in that moment? And so I know for me this coming week, I don't know what's going to look like or whatever, but I know that I just need to be receptive to who Father brings into my life this next week. I mean, outside of the people that I normally have life with and all those kinds of things, I'm not ignoring that situation. But I think for me, Father has, I was talking with a friend of mine this last week, just this place of like, I've got to get out where people are. Where not just the people I know we do life with, but people that I don't know and get around, you know, people that have no idea who God is and love on them. And sometimes loving on them, just being in their space and not saying a word to them sometimes. Because like I've said many times before, we change the atmosphere when we walk in if we're a child of God. And this is the biggest thing we can walk in, change atmospheres with love. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're just going to have a prayer time. And again, like I said, you know, if you have something Father specifically wanting to talk to you about, great, do that. But if there isn't something that specifically comes to your mind in the few moments that we have for prayer time, I guess I would just ask that you just like really connect with Father this morning, this whole area of love. Ask him how he sees you. Ask him to show you how much he loves you. I mean, now we have scripture and all those things. I get that. But I don't think there's a lot of times we don't just sit there in that place with Father and just like, man, just I want to feel your love. I want you to show me how you love me. So after I get done praying, like I said, if there's anything Father wants to talk to you about, great, I am here. I would love to pray over you, pray with you, over you, for you, if that's what you would like. And that's not just for me. If anybody else feels like, man, I need to go pray for that person, and I don't even know them, don't even know their name, go do it anyway. Because if that's on your mind to do, that's Father's talking to you. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this moment again. I thank you. Again, thank you is such a small word. It's not big enough. It doesn't encapsulate the gratitude and all the other words we could use for your love. Jesus, what you gave up, we can't even comprehend. But you came down to your creation and you sacrificed yourself and you gave it all up and allowed your creation to kill you. Something beyond my ability to really comprehend, but I am so grateful that you chose that. That we have the ability to have this free life, this life of connectedness, this life of freedom, this life of power, this life of freedom. freedom from bondage and strongholds and all those things that we were praying or singing about this morning, Father. You are the ones that make that possible for us. And Father, I pray that over this body this morning, this part of your body at large, this part of the bride, this part of your church, that we would really begin to understand what we're here for. That we're here to love on each other in ways that we never have before, that we never would have thought of before. And that it becomes known in our communities, like, man, you can walk into Wasilla Community Church and you will be absolutely wrapped up in love. Because they understand they have a Father who loves them. And it's just coming out of them and getting on everybody else around them. I would love to have that reputation. I would love to know that the people who know they can come here, and are, even if it's not here in this building, they're with the people that are part of us in this place, that they know they can go to them for and get words of love. That they will absolutely get the truth and love, and they will walk away from that conversation feeling more loved than they have ever been loved before, because they ran into God through us. Father, as we take us a few moments this morning and sit and listen to what you would want to converse with us about. Father, I pray for those of us that are praying just to see how you love us and really feel how much you love us. Let that be so evident in the next few moments. Thank you that you are here with us. You're in this room. You're sitting down in between all of us. You're here. So just be with us this morning. us this morning. I love the song that Catherine was just playing. I haven't heard that song in a long time. He gave his life. How much more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Lots of songs have been written about that. I'm sure many more will be written about your love for us. It doesn't matter how many songs are written or books are written or any of that. We won't come to the end of how you love us. So how that outflow, Father, out of that place of unending love, we are called to love in the same way.